You're only one person, but one plus one can change the world. Let's talk about it on Strike.
Had to get tired of doctrine without application, religion without reality, and cliches without truth? If so, you've come to the right place. The place, Key Life. The teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open to 1st and 2nd Chronicles, as we continue with our Old Testament survey, and I've spent considerable time, almost a week, introducing you to these wonderful books, and I know that you're thinking, no, they're not. I tried to read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and that's just boring books. No, it's not. This is a pastoral book. 1st and 2nd Chronicles being, if you will, one book in the Hebrew. This is a wonderful book. This is a book written to a people who are absolutely devastated, who are in exile, who are damned. Do you sometimes feel that way? That nobody understands, and you've done the best you can? When you really worked hard at it, nobody noticed. When you feel lonely and broken and your world's coming apart, nothing seems to be working out, you wonder if God cares. You go to these passages in 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles, and you begin to see something really important about a God who really likes you a lot. Now, if you were listening yesterday, we talked about a friend of mine by the name of Jabez. And you'll find him in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Now, that's a listing, a recording of the genealogies of the people of God. And it's quite boring until you hit these verses that are just smack dab in the middle, and you don't know where they came from or why they're there or who in the world Jabez is. But listen, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Incidentally, the Hebrew word means one who brings sorrow. I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit later. But Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm. Now, the Hebrew can mean that thou wouldst keep me from doing harm to somebody else, so that it might not hurt me. And God granted Jabez what he asked. And if you were listening yesterday, I suggested that God likes to say yes to his people. Now, God is God, and you shouldn't be presumptuous with him. I think I've given you the Ruth Graham quote on several occasions. She said, if God said yes to all my prayers, I would have married the wrong man. On several occasions, God has a filter, and he knows what's best. But he does like to say yes to his people. And so yesterday I spent a considerable time talking about that. Now I want to show you something else about Jabez. Jabez really is a nobody. This is not somebody like David. This is not one of the big kings. This is not one of the big prophets. And yet right in the middle of the genealogies, we find this nobody and his story summarized in two or three verses that are absolutely astounding. I want you to note, if you will, God's concern with one person. In the great sweep of history, God's spotlight falls on a relatively unimportant individual. His name is Jabez. Larry Richards wrote a book a number of years ago called Screwloose Lectures. It was a play on C.S. Lewis' book, Screwtape Letters. And he says that one of the methods of Satan is to convince us that we are insignificant. And if we are insignificant, what difference do we make? We make no difference, so we don't matter. Let me tell you something. That is a lie. It's from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. You're only one person. That's true. But one plus one, that other one being God, can change the world. And I'll tell you something. You've got to be faithful in the place where you are. You got to offer your gift in the place where it's given, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31, and God does some amazing things through individuals. I live in Florida. People in Florida will never again say one vote does not count, because we know better. One man or one woman given over to God really counts, and God may change the world with the one person that you change by your faithfulness. There's a wonderful, as you know, C.S. Lewis is my hero, and I've told you on numerous occasions, if you know any dirt on C.S. Lewis, please don't tell me. He's the only hero I've got left, and, you know, everybody ought to have one hero. At any rate, if you want a real fun thing to read, read the three books that C.S. Lewis wrote that are sort of semi-science fiction. They're called his science fiction trilogy, but it's not really good science fiction, but it's really good stories. The Silent Planet is the first one, and Paralandra is the second one, and the third one is That Hideous Strength. And in the second one, Paralandra is a planet that's just been created and has a new Adam and Eve there. And Ransom, who is the Christ figure in these stories, goes to Paralandra to prevent the kind of fall that has taken place on the Earth. Now, we're called the Silent Planet because there's no conversation between us and any of the other planets, because we really messed it up bad because of the fall of Adam and Eve. So Ransom has been sent to Paralandra to prevent a fall taking place there. Now, the Tempter is there, too, and his name is Weston. Now, this is not a nice person. You can find where he's been by looking at the entrails of birds that he's killed. He hates beauty, so he likes to take beautiful flowers and crush them. And you can find crushed flowers, and you know that Weston has been there. Well, Ransom begins to slowly realize, as he talks to the new Eve, the new Adam has sort of been removed for a while, and Eve is the one that they're going after. Ransom begins to realize why he's been sent there. And Benny realizes that he's supposed to do battle with Weston, and he doesn't want to do that. And it's pretty scary that he's going to have to do that. And he realized that the whole future of this whole world is dependent on him. And in one of the most beautiful scenes in all three of those books, it's dark, a Paralandra night, black, pitch, and Ransom is sitting there, and he realizes what he's got to do. And out of the darkness, he hears a voice, and the voice says, "My name is Ransom, too." I don't think we ought to be concerned with the world that we change in the sense of how much we're doing. We need to be faithful to the place where we are. And Mother, the child that you so carefully raise in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord might grow up to be the man or the woman who changes the world. The person to whom you witness, and you have the great privilege of leading that person to Christ, may be the father or the mother of a child who does that, or maybe that person is the one. Maybe your kindness and your gentleness will cause the flow of bitterness and anger and hostility to turn and make a difference in a city or a civilization or in the whole earth. You're one person. But God moves his people around like chess pieces. And as long as you're willing to play the game his way, God will use you in an amazing way. God's concern with one person is taught in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10, with a nobody by the name of Jabez. And then I want to share something else that I kind of like. And I got to talk pretty fast, but I want you to note that Jabez, and I told you before that his name in the Hebrew means one who brings sorrow. Now, what do you think that says about his mother? I tell you, this is not the kind of mother you want. You don't name your kid the one who brings me sorrow. I mean, I guess every mother says, you know, I work my fingers to the bones for you. Someday I hope you have an ungrateful kid like you. But it's one thing to say that on occasion. It's another thing to name your kid after that attitude. And Jabez, you know, every time she said, "Jabez, it's time for you to come in tonight," she was saying, "Hey, you're the one who called me all this pain and all this sorrow. It's time for you to come in. Jabez, it's time to go to bed." Well, what she was saying, "One who caused me all this sorrow and all this pain, it's time for you to go to bed." I mean, there was no place to get away from it. There was no place to change it. How would you like to have a name like Jabez? The only one I can think worse would be Judas. So Jabez has to walk around with all of this dysfunctional, horrible baggage on his back. And you say, "Oh, man, I understand that because I got that too." But I want you to notice that Jabez got his self-identity not from his mother, but from his God. Let me say that again. He got his self-identity not from his mother, but from his God. Now, I don't know if you had a good mother or a bad mother. All of us have some dysfunctions in our families, and all of us have been through some bad stuff, and there is no parent on the face of the earth who is perfect. But you don't sell your self-image by what your parents say or what they've done. Some of you guys have been trying to please your biological father all your lives, and you just can't do it, and it's messing up your lives. Some of you have been trying to please your biological mother or all of your life, and you just can't do it. You've never been able to do it, and you feel so down and so depressed. Let me tell you something. Go to your father in heaven who likes you a lot and who is already pleased. Could I say that again? Don't go to your teacher who failed you, or your friend who thinks you're ugly, or to your mother or your father that you couldn't please sometimes. Go to God, the God of the universe who sent his son to die on the cross for you. That's how valuable you are, and because of that cross, he is already pleased with you. Now, dear friend, if that doesn't light your fire, you're dead. You think about that. Amen. Well, perhaps that was a little bit radical to say it that way. However, it is so important that we, the people of God, see our value in terms of God and not other people. Hey, listen, do you have a Spring magazine? If you don't, I'd love to send it to you. It's built around the theme of Easter and the crucifixion of Christ. Now, I wrote a piece called Why Jesus Had to Die. Philip Yancey has a piece, Makeover, that you're going to love. The magazine includes a question and answer column. My itineraries there. A lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. It's absolutely free. If you'll give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38593, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular name to that. When I say it's free, I really do mean that, but I want you to know I sure would appreciate a contribution. We have no slush funds. We squeeze every dime, and your contribution is very important, and I promise we'll be faithful with it. If you can help us, be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette teaching, What Good Is Guilt, is my thank you. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.